This is Shiv.
Hi, Shiv.
Hi, guys.
You want to do some clicking?
Oh, sorry. I'm not used to being a clicker. At church, normally I have to turn my head and then tell someone, next slide, please. So you guys will bear with me whilst I learn how to click at the same time. Eh? Thanks, guys. Okay. Here we go.
So this is Shiv, and Shiv leads the kids' ministry at City Gates Church in Ilford. And, you know, if I would really suggest for you guys this week that you connect with Shiv, get her details. She is an amazing creative communicator. She is very gifted, very talented, wonderful team leader, and I really would recommend that you spend the time, some time with her this week. Even grab a coffee or something, because she is incredible. Just saying. Just saying.
Thank you. That's really sweet. So, Ian, has anybody here never met Ian before? You can put your hands up. Yeah, okay. Similarly,
you're
to how,
so blessed.
Yeah, no, honestly, Ian is someone who is a great encourager, extremely wise, friendly, a great mentor. And one thing I'll share this quickly about Ian is that when I first joined the Limitless Kids team 2 or 3 years ago, he didn't know me, but he came up to me and embraced me as if I was like his own daughter, encouraged me straight away. So one thing I'd say from this is, if you are able to grab any of us, anyone who's got like a purple lanyard, just come up to us, ask as many questions as possible, grab our details, because we're here for you guys. We're not here for each other this week. We're here for you and to help you with your kids' ministries. So that's who we are. We're going to do a quick icebreaker. And as we share, today's session is all about role models. So we'd love to know, first question is, what does it mean to be a role model? And then secondly, can you name someone you consider your role model? So if you can, speak to someone that you don't know. We're going to spend about 2 minutes just talking about these two questions, and then we'd love to hear from you as well. Okay, so feel free to have a little chat with someone that you don't know. Okay, so if we start to wrap up, if we start to round up. Okay, so we'd love to hear from one person from this side and one person from that side. Ian, do you want to choose someone, or do you want someone to put their hand up?
Okay, so someone on my side of the room, who's going to share? Name someone who has impacted your life as a role model, even just that. Someone has to. This is kids' ministry. We do not go quiet. We're the screaming department of the church. You know, we can't just sit on our hands. We can't do it. So come on, someone has to have had a role model. Yeah. So I'm just going to share a little. My role model is my dad. He's my guy. He's the guy I turn to for all the stuff that I need to get through tomorrow. He's the guy that has never let me down. And I know that's not everyone's experience, but that's my role model. My role model is my dad.
Do I have to share mine? Yeah. Oh, I would say my grandma. I'm going in the direction of family again. My grandma, I didn't realize how similar I was to her until my mum would share stories about, you know, she's still with us, but share stories about how similar we are and just mannerisms. But for me, it was more just the way that my grandma, she lives in Jamaica, and she just takes people into her home. So every time I've like called her on video call, there'll be someone in the background like, who's that? He goes, oh yeah, it's just little man, he's from down the road. He goes, oh, why is he there? Just giving him breakfast. But my grandma's always done that. And I remember very specifically my mum saying growing up that she would just wake up, come out of her room and see someone in the house eating breakfast. It's like, who's that? Oh, he's just from down the road. He just needs some food. So she's always been a great role model in terms of looking after the one, going after the one, looking after people and who are less fortunate. So yeah, thank you for sharing, guys. Again, bear with me, clicker, come on, clicker. Okay, so we've shared what our role models are, but just to go on to a little bit of a session breakdown of what we'll be speaking on today, so we're going to explore how we can build a diverse team of kids workers who will make great role models. Just a bit of context, you know, the days of kids workers looking and sounding the same as gone. We'll share a little bit more what that looks like in today's session. And again, this session is really practical. We'd love it if you guys take notes. Feel free to ask questions if you feel led to during the session as well. But we're going to just discuss ways to create a team of diverse kids workers of all different ages, ethnicities, abilities, and all walks of life.
So what does it mean to be a role model? Well, for me, my definition of a role model is someone that you can look up to and aspire to be like, someone who truly makes an impact and someone who wants to make, who wants you to be a better person. That, to me, embodies what a role model is. Now.
Clicker. This clicker of mine. Totally. So today's session, we're going to break down in three main points. So if you do, if you're a person who likes to write headings, we'll be covering the why, the who, and the how. Okay.
So this afternoon, we're going to be basing our content on Mark 9, verses 35 to 37. And it says this: sitting down, Jesus called the 12 disciples and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one, does not only welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" You see, we believe that whatever we are teaching you today must be rooted in God's word. That is the fundamental foundation. And we can teach you principles, but principles can come and go. But it's when it's rooted in God's word that makes a significant difference in what we're teaching. Because it's that that resonates with the very core of our soul. It's that that's going to make the biggest difference. So we're going to be basing our session around these three verses. There will be other verses that will come up, but this is the core of where we're going with this. We will be looking at how to be a role model using Jesus as our greatest role model, and we'll see over the next while just what he has to say about it and the standard that he sets for us. Because we need to lead our kids and our teams the way God wants us to be the role model that he has created us to be. So let's get into it. Let's hit the why. So why are role models so important? I believe we should always start with why. Why is, if we don't start with why, then we'll never understand what we're dealing with. And we will potentially carry on the way we always have done. But if we start with why, we will start to see the context in where we're moving from and where we're going to. There are some very alarming statistics around role models or the lack of them. And here's a few for you. First one is, a study of more than 1,000 kids has found that 25% of them did not have a role model to look up to. That's 250 kids out of 1,000. A quarter did not have a role model. Rather than turning to teachers and parents for advice on careers, schoolwork, or fitting in, researchers found of the same 1,000 that nearly half of the children turned to YouTube because they had no one else to turn to. 500 out of 1,000. Of the same 1,000, similarly, 37% revealed their first point of call for careers advice was a celebrity who they tried to contact directly in a bid for help. This is now. What's the next generation going to look like if we do nothing? Role models carry such an important part of the spiritual growth of our kids. On average, children, when we think of society today and consider how broken the family unit is, kids being raised by single parents. Now, please hear my heart on this. I champion the single parent. I think that what they do is incredible. They are incredibly stressed. They're incredibly busy because they're having to do the job of two. And I champion single parents because they have such a difficult road ahead. when they have kids. But we're dealing with our why, so we're dealing with our context here. On average, children who experience single parenthood during their childhood have a poorer cognitive outcome than those who grow up in a stable family environment. See, God created the family environment as male and female. He created us different yet equal because the family unit needed both sides to make it whole. That's how God created it. 25% of the families in the UK are single parents, and just under 3 million children live in single parent families, which is 21% of all children in families. These statistics are shocking, and I'm sure you'd agree, but understanding our context, namely our why, helps us to focus on the solutions, the positives, the God way. Rita Pearson said, and I love this, "Every kid needs a champion. An adult who will never give up on them, understands the power of connection, and insists that they become the best that they can be." And personally, I believe that this works for our teams as well as our kids. When we consider the amazing teams that we work with as leaders, this applies to them as well. Because I don't know about you, but as a volunteer in different teams, there are times when we feel undervalued and unimportant. But with a role model attitude that flows from the top down, we believe that we can change not just our team, but our kids and our communities by the way we live our lives, to help them live out the full potential of the God, of the call that God has placed on each of them.
The thing about Ian is you can get so into what, I forget that I'm on the stage with you, Ian. I'm so engrossed by what you're saying. I'm going to just show a quick video and share a word of encouragement for you guys. Hopefully the click will be on my side. Click. Now, it's very brief, I know. And this was before COVID, guys, as you can see. But this is the kids within my ministry, City Gates Church in Ilford. And many of these kids are probably 2-3 years old now. I'm probably about 13 because that's what happened during the pandemic. Everybody just aged by 10 years. But just to say that when I look at this video, I see young people who are looking up to their leaders, some of their leaders who look like them, some of them who don't look like them. But then I see leaders who are looking to myself and other leaders within the church. And often we can come and feel like we aren't good enough, or we don't sing as well as this person, or I can't lead a session as well as this person. But just to encourage you guys that you are all where you're meant to be. You are all a solution for somebody. So my words for you is that just be present to those of you know, on your team, and be present for the kids as well. Be a listening ear. And hear what God has to say in your life in order to impact others. Because as much as you may feel like you're not good enough, you are someone's solution. So be encouraged. And a scripture for you guys would be 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just in fact as you are doing." So as I said, guys, you are a solution. So encourage yourselves.
And don't be afraid to encourage each other. See, even this week, have a chat with people. Listen to what they're doing. Listen to how they're doing it. And speak into it. You know, this is an environment that we are privileged to be able to come into, to be able to sense the presence of God, to be caught up by the Spirit, for the Spirit, to work through us to those around us. So we get great opportunities from time to time over a cup of coffee where we notice someone from our session to go up and start a conversation and make sure encouragement is your focus, because we are all better together. No matter where we go in this world, we are always better together. We can face, and we'll talk about it later on as we go through the session, we will face our mountains, but we will always be able to get over those mountains, even pass through those mountains when we do it together. Because that's a biblical principle that we will hear later. So we've looked at the why. So we've set our context into why role models are so important. Now we're going to look at the who. So let's start with Mark 9:35. And I love the way when Jesus speaks, it's sometimes just one word that changes everything. And it's like this in this verse. It says in Mark 9:35, he sat down and called the 12 disciples over to him and said, so they were arguing about who was the greatest. And he said to them, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Now, I'm sure we've all read that verse so many times thinking, yeah, we've got to be servant-hearted. We've got to be servant-hearted. Yeah, that's great. But we forget about the first. First here means if you want to be the chief influencer, you've got to take the lowest place. So what Jesus is actually teaching his disciples here, that if you want to be the chief influencer, you have to be willing to go low. Now, this is not a doormat moment. This is not a place where you become something that you're not intended to be. But this is what I believe that Jesus is saying. I believe that Jesus is saying here that leaders are not called to do every job, but they must be willing to do every job. That's the difference. That as leaders and chief influencers, if you want to be first in the kingdom, then you need to be willing to do the menial stuff. Because by doing the menial stuff, you're showing your team and your kids that there is nothing beneath you. That you are not a leader that is elevated to a height that you cannot relate, but you are willing to go to the lowest parts to be able to communicate at the best level to make sure that everybody gets what they need. That's what Jesus is saying here. And so many times we brush over these verses without digging. We need to understand that when Jesus speaks, we need to sit up and listen. And as we move forward, you will see this in the most incredible way as we get through these verses.
And I think what's special about the quote that Ian shared, leaders are not called to do every job, but must be willing to do every job. And you might be thinking, what does that look like in my setting or in your kids' ministry setting? Now, for me, before I took on the role as children's ministry director, I remember serving within the kids' ministry, serving at church, and seeing my senior pastor getting the Hoover out and cleaning up the building and stacking chairs. And as a result of that, you know, myself and other people then took on board joining ministries and serving and doing the things that aren't really glamorous, you know, kind of like not really like the thing that I really want to do. For example, kids ministry. Those of you who served with kids who are in the toddlers group, you know that sometimes that might mean wiping bogeys on noses, might mean cleaning vomit, might mean a child has accidentally wet themselves when the parents said they are potty trained. These things happen. And we as leaders just get on with it. We are willing to do that because we're not just here for a title. We're here to serve these families, but most importantly, serve God as well.
Yeah. So that's looking at who we are as leaders. You know, going beyond, above and beyond to get to the lowest place so that others are led by example. You see, it's not just about the words that we say. You can listen to some of the greatest communicators, but if they keep themselves locked away and there are no actual practical use, there's not a great chance you're going to follow that. But people that back up their words with actions, like Jesus, I'll follow that. I'll do what he says because he sets me the greatest example. So that's the who are you in our who. But who is your team, or who are your team? Your team is the role models for your kids, and your team will be the guider and director for the kids when we do role models well. Relationship will build and opportunities to bring Jesus into the lives of kids become more relevant and important than making them listen to a message from the front. Now let me bring some context into that. I have spent time with so many kids' ministries where leaders feel valueless because they aren't capable of standing at the front and delivering messages. Well, I want to dispel that myth today. Because the most important people in your ministry are the leaders that sit amongst the kids. Because they're the ones that are willing to build relationships. And it's those relationships that will grow and develop from that age bracket that you work with over time. So that when those kids have problems, they're not going to ask the guy at the front for a solution. They're going to ask the person that has the best relationship with them. So if we are leaders that detach ourselves from the kids and think that's someone else's job, we've got to think again, because that's the most important job. I had an instance where I was with a church doing a consult with their kids team. And we were talking about the importance and the value of each other and how team is so very valuable. And this lady who was in a wheelchair stopped and she goes, I have a question. She said to me, I don't have any value because I'm only in a wheelchair. I said, right, okay. So I said, well, what is it that you bring to this team? She says, I only sit at reception and mark their names off as they come through the door. So I said, hold on a minute here. So what you're actually telling me is that you're the most important person in this team. And all of a sudden, she sat back in her chair and thought, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, you're the person that sets the tone for every child that comes through that door. If you have had a bad day and you carry it into your kids' ministry, you're setting the tone for these kids coming through the door because you're the first person they see. You might think that you do nothing in a wheelchair, but you bring your attitude, that is a heavenly attitude, into this space, and you transform the way kids move from registration into a bigger space where they're going to encounter God. So effectively, what you've just said is you're the most important person in this team. And then the light came on. That I have value and worth. Yeah. You see, every member of our team carries a level of kingdom importance. And if we neglect to validate and to bring our people with us, then as leaders, we do not carry role model well. We need to make sure we bring everyone with us, even the prickly ones.
Yeah, what I love about that question, who is your team or who are your team? I want you guys just to think for a moment what your team looks like. Does your team all look the same? Do they all sound the same? Do they all do the same job? Have a moment just to think about how we can expand our kids' ministries, how we can make it more diverse, that we can have people from different walks of life. Now, I'll share a little bit about my own team. I think I've got a picture. There we go. Now, with my team... Now, obviously, when you look at me, you're thinking, oh, I don't know what you think when you see me. I hope I look nice.
Do
I look
firecracker. Firecracker.
Now, when I first took on the role at City Gates, I was 24. I'm 29 now. I was 24, and I'm really small and tiny, and I've got piercings, and my hair's normally a different color. So I didn't look like your standard kids worker. But one thing is that I know is that I love God and I love children encountering God. And when I look at my team, I have the eldest team member is 60 and the youngest is 17. I have people from all different walks of life, people who are doctors, nurses, teachers. And I think what's amazing about my team is that everybody's different, but they're all here for the same purpose. And it's so important because the kids within our care, they see that. And they see someone who looks like them, someone who sounds like them, someone who they can relate to. And I'd say that diversity is beneficial. And that can also mean people with different abilities as well. Now, we have our SEN team who we established an SEN ministry around 2-3 years ago, and now it's up and running. So we have children with additional needs can come into Kids Church and feel like it's a safe space, and then we all worship together, we play together, we learn about Jesus together. But an amazing thing is that one of our core leaders is a young man called William, and he has additional needs himself. And for me, it's beautiful to see, because we have this ministry where it's a ministry that's inclusive for all, but also one of our core leaders also has the same additional needs as some of the children. And the fact that he's a guy as well. And I know Ian's going to touch on the importance of having men within kids ministry and what that looks like as well.
Yeah. Do you know, whenever we come to spaces like this, the one thing that I am pretty much guaranteed is that either there will be no men or there will be a few men. And can I just say, for the three of you guys that are here, praise God for each of you. Because one thing that, you know, Shiv is talking about the diversity in the context of where she is. One thing that I have noticed as I have been traveling around Ireland in different Elam churches is that the majority of all kids ministries are, if not all female, very much female heavy. Now, it's something that I don't have in my own church, and probably something that I needed to be made aware of, because we are about 50-50. And I'll share a story about one of my guys in a minute. But our young boys need male role model influencers. You can tell I've been up from stupid o'clock this morning. They need male role model influences. And as much as I champion every single one of you females in all that you do, the one thing that your wee boys need is males to come alongside them. Because God made us different for this purpose. Our males, our wee boys, need male role models that will teach them how to get over the difficult things that boys deal with that ladies can't. Or maybe they do, but they will always do it from a female perspective because they're not men. And I mean that with the greatest respect, ladies, I really do. Our ministries could not survive without the female influence that you are where you're placed. But for men, our boys need male role models. And I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but how can I get males into my ministry? What I'm saying to you today, you need intentional recruiting. You see, if you go to a man and say to them, hey, would you like to join our kids' ministry? I would say probably 9 out of 10 would go, nah, not interested. But you watch. This is what I mean by being intentional. As a leader, I'm encouraging you to watch around your church for the fathers in your church that have incredible relationships with their kids. Now, in the name of equality, we have emasculated men. Okay? I believe that. I believe that the church is lacking male influence in this age. Because in the name of equality, we have actually went so far the other way to try and compensate for the years when it was totally wrong that men have stepped aside and stepped away. And how many churches do we go to where even the congregation is predominantly female? Now, when you watch the father heart of fathers in your church, imagine this, that you go to that father and say, I have seen how amazing you are with your kids. Would you ever consider being that for the little boys that we have coming into our kids' ministry, because they don't have it. And I would probably say that you will change that ratio from 9 out of 10 to 5 out of 10, which gives you a 50% recruitment ratio with every father that you meet, because you have done something that the world neglects, and that's validate a man. You have given him back the validation that he craves. And you will create those, I would call it a puffed out chest moment, where that father sees who he really is in the kingdom, and that he has something that he can genuinely offer. You're not asking him to come and speak at the front. You're not asking him to come and lead anything. You're asking him to come and be who God created him to be. And it will change. Now, I have a guy. I call this the story of Dave. Now, for those of you that are old enough, and I don't think there's too many here, but Dave looks like Ming the Merciless. If you've ever seen Flash Gordon, Flash Gordon's arch enemy is Ming the Merciless. Dave is a 6 foot, bald, bearded, ex-service, or he's ex-RAF. He is an intimidating figure. Until a few years ago, we needed somebody to play a part within our holiday Bible club. And at that time, Dave wasn't working. So we thought, for a laugh, I'll do that. What happened over that week between Dave and the kids changed his life. Dave was only saved 3 years at this stage. He hadn't journeyed with God very long. But at the final night at the parents, at the family barbecue that we have at the end of Holiday Club, Dave came and sat at my table and he said, "Ian, would there be any chance I could join your kids' ministry?" So Dave turned up, first night, T-shirt on. He goes, "Right, what do you do and where do you do it?" And I said, "Dave, all I want you to do is to go and sit in the middle of the room by yourself, and you will never have to ask me, what do I do ever again?" This was at 20 to 7. Meeting started at 7, and at 7 o'clock we lost Dave. Because when we came into the room, Dave was under a sea of wee boys who were constantly, "Why are you bald? How long is your beard? Why do you talk different?" Because he's English and he's working in Northern Ireland. "Why do you talk different to us? Where do you live? How long are you going to be here?" And all of a sudden, Dave was validated by the children, by the wee boys that are craving a male role model. And they wanted to hear his stories of being in the army. They wanted to hear his stories of why he's bald and why he enjoys having a big, long beard. You know, these are important things for wee boys that, I'm sorry, ladies, but I wouldn't want any of yous telling any of your kids why you have such a long beard. Let's be honest. So I call this the story of Dave, and that's how Dave started. Dave has been to Africa to teach kids, because he has such a love for young kids that he wants to see them reached for God. Everything has changed. Everything Dave does revolves around kids, because somewhere in there, the 10-year-old inside of him is being exercised. And I don't know how you guys feel, but that's how I feel. I'm 52 this year, and there's a 10-year-old screaming to get out of me every Monday night with our kids, because that's who God has set me apart to be. And that's the one thing that our churches lack, is that influence of males.
So I'll just share a quick quote. It says, "Kids probably won't care or remember what you have said as they grow up, but they will remember how you made them feel and how you conducted yourself, and they may do likewise."
So we have dealt with the why, and we've looked at the who. Now, any of you that know me know that to sit here at any stage is a real difficult thing, because I love Jesus and I love the Word of God. And sometimes I can't. I just can't sit, because I get so excited about what I want to share, because I believe that God has downloaded stuff. This session, this last bit, this how, I believe God has downloaded something into this session for you today. So, Mark 9, 36 and 37. It says, "Then he put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, 'Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the Father who sent me.'" We have already discussed that to be the chief influencer, we need to be prepared to get to the low place for our teams and our kids, to be the role model that God wants us to be. But the role model that God wants us to be is so much more and so much bigger than that. You see, my own pastor uses a phrase when he talks about the leadership in our church, and it's this. He says that the more leadership responsibility you have, the bigger the towel you're going to need. Now, I hope my accent, some people call it a towel. In Northern Ireland, we call it a towel. Okay? So when I say a towel, it's a towel. Okay? So, and what he means by this is the higher you go up the spiritual leadership role, the more metaphorical feet you're going to have to wash. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we move forward in this. Mark 10:45, we'll touch on it a wee bit later. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus here was dealing with the sons of thunder, James and John, who were arguing over who was going to sit beside Jesus in heaven. And this was Jesus' response. Jesus was reminding them again about being this servant heart, because he uses the word even. Now we just read it and we just think even. But even here means likewise. So Jesus is not only being prophetic with his language, talking about him going to a cross and giving his life a ransom for the world, but he's talking about the now, in this moment, to James and John. And what he's saying is, likewise, just like the Son of Man has come not to be served but to serve, you're going to have to give your life as a ransom for many now. And what he's saying is that to be the greatest role model kingdom-wise for him, that we need to be like him. And to be like him, then we have to be prepared to give our lives up for other people, to make sure they shine and we don't. Because that's what Jesus did. And if Jesus did it, then we need to sit up and listen to what Jesus has to say about these things. Because it's so important for those kids around us and those leaders around us to make sure that we are the role model that God has called us to be. That we are not taking our roles lightly. But if we are kingdom-minded in the way we teach our kids and the way we train our teams, then we need to be kingdom-minded when it comes to the role models, so that people follow the example we leave. So the leaders that come behind us have a greater opportunity to succeed. But Mark 9, verse 36 and 37 is where we're going to land this session. Jesus teaches his disciples a great lesson here on how to be a great role model. And the wonderful thing is that when we do it well, the reward is incredible. Now, I need you to see this here. In Mark 9, verse 37, he says, Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the Father who sent me. Now, I need you to back up a bit, because you need to see Jesus' actions here. Jesus says, or it says in Mark 36, it says that he took a child and set him in the midst. Now, he didn't lay him on the ground. He set him in the midst. So I can imagine this child standing, but the Bible leaves us a full stop. And this is something that we need to take heed of. There's a full stop there. He didn't just, it wasn't all in one motion. There was a stop. So there's a full stop. Why? Because then Jesus wanted to use his actions to create the biggest impact, because it then says, then he took the child in his arms. Now, when you take a child in your arms, more often than not, the first thing they will do is put their arms around your neck, because they will embrace you back. And I need you to hold on to that thought as we move through this section. This word in verse 37 welcomes or receives, depending on the translation you have. It is spoken 45 verses in the New Testament and zero in the Old Testament. And that is significant because Jesus, if you're working on the law of the first mention for those Bible scholars here, if you're working on that, then the first person to mention it is Jesus. Why? Because he is teaching us a new way in the new covenant. He's teaching us how we lead people, how we lead ourselves, and how we lead the ministries that we're involved in by being the role model that he's setting us apart to be. Now, this is incredible because when Jesus says something in Scripture, he says, if he says it once, it's worth a note. If he says it twice, you need to get your highlighter out. If he says it three times, you need to start underlining and scribbling that this is three times. But here, he says it four times. He uses the Greek word dachomai. And this is an incredible word because it has so many different meanings. Jesus was intentional with his language. And when we start to dig a little deeper into Scripture, we get to see exactly what he's saying to us. And here, there are 10 different meanings within this one word. Because one word from Jesus does what? Come on. It changes everything. It's amazing. Now, let's kick it off then. Number one, dachomai, the first meaning is to embrace. Now we're looking at this from a role model perspective, to embrace. To embrace your team, to embrace your ministry, to care for them. Jesus said, or it says in John 13, 34 and 35, love each other just as I have loved you. Yes, Jesus did say this. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world, there's your role model, that you are my disciples. Embrace your team. Show them who you are by showing who he is. Number two. I might even have to use two hands here. Number two, show hospitality. If we look at the law of the first mention, there are three times in Scripture where Jesus says this for the first time. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He also uses this verse, Mark 9:37, another two times in Scripture, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Why? Because you need to understand that the Gospels were written to different people. We sometimes wonder why someone would bother in the canon of Scripture to have lots of different passages that are the same. But this is the reason for it. Matthew was written to the Jewish leaders of the age. Mark was written to the persecuted church in Rome. Luke was written to the Greeks and the Gentile nations. You see, when we understand the context of Scripture, we get a greater insight into what it actually means for us. So what was he saying here? He was putting it out to the whole world that this is the way we're going to move forward. He was covering everybody when he gave this. It was amazing. To show hospitality, he says in Luke 10, verse 5 and 6, whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. You show hospitality to your team over a cup of tea, cup of coffee, bite of food. Show hospitality. Open your homes. You're inviting God to bless. It's amazing. God is so very good to us whenever we follow him with authentic Christian living. Thirdly, to allow access all areas. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. It's about putting other people first, but it's about allowing them to receive from you everything that you have to offer. It's about pouring out yourself for them so that when they bring their bit to the table, they become bigger and better than you are, which means that your ministry has longevity. Role model is just such an incredible place to be in. Fourthly, to treat as family. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. There's your family content. Outdo one another in showing honor. What a way to live. What a way to do team as a role model. To teach or educate. This is such a great word, isn't it? Colossians 3:16, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. We are teachers and educators, even as role models. Next one, to listen to. This is all one word. To listen to. James 1:19, this you know, my beloved brethren, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. You know, sometimes we wonder why God would give us 2 ears and one mouth. Well, here we go. It's to listen. Listen twice as much as you speak, because in listening, you will be able to overcome. You'll be able to hear the heart of your team. You'll be able to hear the heart of your kids. You'll be able to hear the heart of the family, because you've taken time to listen. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. We become better because we take time to listen. It also means to encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, as Shiv has shared with us earlier, encourage each other and build each other up. As role models, we're cheerleaders. We cheer our team. We cheer on our kids. We cheer on our families. We cheer on our church. We cheer on our community, because that's what God has called us to do. Next one, not to turn away from. Now, this can be a wee bit difficult. Ephesians 4:2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. I don't know about you, but I have prickly people that I have encountered over the years of kids' ministry. And the one thing that I know is that love always wins. When I find that I have difficult leaders, I choose to love more. I don't want to turn away from them. I want to love more. I want to show them that I love them for who they are, for who God has created them to be, and in doing so, I am a better leader. Not because of anything that I have done, but because iron sharpens iron. And by overcoming difficult situations, you will become better at the challenges that face you in the days that lie ahead. Then we have to endure with. And in this, we have enduring with each other and for each other. To endure with, Galatians 6:2, share each other's burdens, and in this we obey the law of Christ. And for each other, we have Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Come on. We're better together. We're always better together. And that's what I love about spaces like this, that I get to be amongst passionate kids workers who see God in the lives of children and want them to encounter the Father for themselves. This is what this is about. This is not about us as a team standing at the front. delivering great messages for you guys to have your ears tickled. This is about us getting to the low place and telling you wherever you are, whatever you're doing, we want to serve you in the lowest places that you need us to go. That's what this is about. That's what Limitless Leaders is all about. This is a place where we want you guys to always know that you have support no matter where you're placed around this island. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We want to be help for you. And lastly, to take upon yourself to help. 10 different definitions within one word. Because one word from Jesus does what? It changes everything. This is the big tall moment. To take upon yourself to help. I come across so many leaders that detach themselves when things get a bit tough. The best leaders that I've ever encountered are the ones that get their sleeves rolled up and get stuck in because they want the best for their team. No stone will be left unturned because he has done an incredible work in that leader. So that leader wants in turn to do the same for their team, for their kids. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, being a role model carries a great responsibility. The generation we work with and the generations to come, that if we metaphorically wash feet half-heartedly, the small towel experience, when we do that as leaders, then the next generation will do the same because their feet have been washed half-heartedly. That's the problem with not going all out and being a half-hearted role model. But when we take the time to wash feet well, maybe even to polish a toe or two, we're going to raise a generation that knows what it's like to go the extra mile for others, and they probably will. Because that's their experience, and experience will be the thing that dictates how people behave. That's why our society is so wrecked, because sin is so prevalent everywhere. We need to be the people that's going to stand and say no. Not for my team, not for my kids, not for the families in my church, not for the community that I serve. You see, Jesus teaches us that it will take great sacrifice, but it's so worth it. You see, this word, dachamai, 4 times. 4 times. Because he needs his disciples to know that there is blessing in doing the thing that is right, not what is easy. You see, he goes on to say that when we embrace kids like this, we embrace him. And when we embrace him, he embraces us in turn. So all of those 10 things that some of you have listed, be ready to receive. Whenever you do role model well, because Jesus is embracing you the way he wants you to embrace a child. And not only that, but go the extra bit. And he says, you're not just welcoming me, but you're welcoming the Father that sent me. Almighty God wants to give you and wants to bless you, because that's what he's saying here. He's saying there is great reward by going the extra mile. There is great reward by being the role model that God has set you apart to be. There is reward in it for you. It might not be material. But God says that I will embrace you. And I'll take an embrace from God any day. Anybody with me? I believe, in fact, all heaven glories in you preparing to be last. And showing others the true meaning of what a role model is and how to show others how to be a role model for this generation and the generations to come. We want to be leaders that carry a big towel to wash as many feet as possible, to do whatever it takes to show our team and our kids what it's like to live an authentic Christian life by being a great role model. We want to be people that will carry our big towel with honor and purpose, because that's who he has called us to be. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So I'm very conscious that time has gone. So I am going to do just a corporate prayer over you guys. And just to remind you, anyone in a purple lanyard, part of the Limitless Kids team, we're here to support you, here to pray with you. Any questions that you have for us, please do so. And we also have, which Emma will explain, some stuff, resources at the back. But I'm going to pray over you guys. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that every person here is a solution to someone, to a young person, to another leader. Lord, I thank you that they've all been called and they all have a purpose, Lord Jesus. And whether they know it or not, Lord, I pray that they will receive something new from you, Lord, over these next 3 days, Lord. Lord, I pray that they will take any doubts, Lord, that they have in their hearts about themselves, Lord, and just believe the beautiful things that you say over them, Lord. I pray a blessing over each and every children's worker here today. Thank you that they've come. Thank you for the time that they've given up. But just pray a blessing over each and every one of them. Let them know that they are a solution to a young person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.